Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
You know, people choose to be a vegan for health, environmental, ethical reasons, and so many more. My guest is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and she is a vegan educator and author of several books. So, Colleen, tell us a little bit about this New Year's diet, the 30-day vegan challenge. If somebody, I mean, and I'm in this group that is very interested in trying, maybe not as a permanent lifestyle, but a 30-day challenge to see if we could do it and what's involved, and tell us how difficult it is. So speak about it a little bit.
Sure. Well, the principle behind it is that, you know, we are creatures of habit, and all of us kind of grow up eating the same way and learning the same things. All of us, I grew up eating animals, like, you know, I grew up eating everything that walked or swam or flew, and when it came time for me to make this change, you know, we all have the same questions, and it's a matter of not just removing things, and I think that's where people get daunted, is that they remove things that are familiar, but they never replace them with new things. So the principle behind the 30-Day Vegan Challenge is to say, look, do it for 30 days. Let me help you create new habits. Let me hold your hand through this process and answer all the questions you have. So people's questions tend to revolve around the nutrition. So one day is on protein, one day is on B12, one day is on calcium, one day is on iron. People have questions about the food. So one day is on specifically, you know, better baking without eggs, things like making the time to cook, stocking a vegan kitchen, so really practical things. And then a lot of people have questions, which I focus on a lot, on the social aspect. So one day is on traveling, one day is on eating out, one day is on, you know, family and holidays and community dinner. So it really addresses all of the questions people have when they're considering making a transition. And that's the scariest part, and I want to make that clear. It's not that being vegan is difficult. It's that people have a hard time with change, and that's what I want to do, is help people with that transition.
So let's hit a few of those points. Supplements, for example. Do you think that as you start this process that you do need to supplement the B12, the folic acid, these things? I know that we get them from our kale and our greens and our wonderful plants, but if at first you're not getting them enough, do you advise supplementing with a good multi?
Well, I think, you know, based on the work that I do with nutritionists and doctors, I really do think a multivitamin in our society, the way we live today, I think it's very helpful to have a multivitamin as insurance. I don't think we need to go crazy with having everything in single nutrients, and we're kind of obsessed with that. I do really encourage people to change the way we think about the nutrients that we need, because most of us have been taught that we need nutrients from the animals. What we're doing right now is going through the animals to get to the nutrients that the animals get because they're eating plants. So I suggest that we skip the middle animal. And as you said, go directly to the source. Go to the kale and the collard greens and the greens for the calcium and for the iron and the beans for the iron. Go directly to the source, because when we do that, we're getting the nutrients we need. So we're getting all the nutrients we need, all of it from the plants. And we're getting the antioxidants, and we're getting the phytochemicals, and we're getting all the good stuff, and we're skipping the things that are harmful, like the saturated fat, like the dietary cholesterol and the animal protein. So, no, we can get everything we need from plant foods, but a multivitamin is a wonderful insurance.
I love the page in the 30dayveganchallenge.com. So the day one, taking the vegan out of the box, stocking a healthful kitchen, reading labels, so important. You know, this is a short segment, so Colleen, we don't have time to go over all of these. But making the time to cook is something that I have been an advocate of because of the childhood obesity epidemic. Yeah. But let's talk about eating out, because at this time of the year, and at all times of the year, eating out, how do you know? If you do not go to an all-vegan restaurant, you're at your normal steakhouse, fish house, whatever it is, how do you know that what you're getting isn't made with, you know, certain oils or, you know, mixed in with
animal
other
fats,
things? Yeah,
dairy.
Animal
sure,
fats.
Sure.
How can you trust them? Dairy. I mean, how do you know?
Let me start by saying, this is really important to say, is that being vegan, I think the biggest misconception is that people think that being vegan is an end in itself. And for me, being vegan is a means to an end. And that end for me is compassion and wellness. So if we look at it as a means rather than an end, we realize we do the best we can, right? It's not about being perfect. It's not about being pure. It's about doing everything we can. Will we make mistakes? Will things happen? Absolutely. But we can still do a lot to make a difference for ourselves and for others, for other beings. So if you notice, that day, it's not just called eating out. It's called eating out and speaking up. And that's important because what we need to do is ask for what we want. So when you're looking at a menu, ask questions. You are a patron there. You are spending your money there. They're not doing you any favors. You're asking for what you want, and you're paying for it. So ask them questions. Probe them about how something is made. And it doesn't take very long. You can say, oh, I'm really interested in this pasta primavera I noticed. Can you just let me know if you make it with chicken broth or vegetable broth? And they'll tell you. Or, you know, I noticed you have Parmesan cheese on this soup. Can you just give me that soup and confirm that it's vegan and say, could you just leave the Parmesan cheese off? And they'll say, no problem. So we need to just do this unapologetically and not feel bad about asking questions.
So what about the cravings? I mean, in my world, that's my biggest sort of thing that I would have to try and get past. I am a cheese person. I love my raw milk cheeses and goat cheeses. How do you get past that and still feel like you're, because, and here's the thing that I would like to ask you, Colleen. To some people, such as myself, food is part of the enjoyment of life. Yeah. And for people out there like myself who would love to become vegan, but how do I get rid of that craving that I want that cheese with my glass of wine? And do you know what I'm saying? Paint that picture.
Oh, I do. I do. That's why one day is called There Is Life After Cheese.
I see that.
I've heard this before. So I address it in there, and I also address it in another day called Dealing with Cravings, Fat and Salt Taste Good. Because if you deconstruct it, that's what it's about. The truth is we don't crave the flesh and secretions of other animals. We don't. We are not true carnivores. You know, look at a domestic cat and how they respond when they see their prey. We don't act like that when we see a bird. We don't act like that when we see a deer, right, or cow grazing. But what we do crave is fat, and we crave salt, and we crave familiarity, and we crave flavor. The thing is, we've all been raised getting that flavor, fat, texture, salt from animal products. So it's a matter of saying, well, I'm not craving meat here. What am I craving? Oh, I'm craving some fat. I'm craving some salt. So where can I get it? Oh, well, let me look over here. Where is that available in plant foods? It might be avocado. It might be something salty. It might be something smoky. And all of those things are available in plant foods. So what I recommend is that people go underneath the source of the craving that we're all accustomed to and think of the craving itself. And then you look to a different source. And that's part of what I'm doing is guiding you to what these other sources are. But this is not about deprivation. Of course, this is still about enjoying food and enjoying life and realizing that there are other considerations to make besides just our taste buds.
So in the last 30 seconds or so, your best advice for the 30-day vegan challenge and where people can find out more information about this?
So what I always say to people is just never say never, just be open to new experiences. And most people say when you talk about being vegan or vegetarian that they don't eat a lot of meat or don't eat a lot of dairy. Most people say that, but the truth is you really don't know how much you eat until you stop. So try it for 30 days. Let me guide you. You'll learn some new things, no doubt. Whatever you do with the information by the end of the 30 days, I can promise you, you will learn a lot and feel a lot more empowered. So you can just go to 30dayveganchallenge.com and sign up. You can gift it to a friend as well. So there's lots of information at 30dayveganchallenge.com.
And you'll feel better as a result, too. It's not just about feeling empowered,
thing.
But it's about the feeling of cleanliness and cleansing that you get from eating that kind of a vegan diet, even if it's only for 30 days. Thank you so much, Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and the website is the 30-Day Vegan Challenge. You know, it's something for us to think about. It's something that my husband and I have talked about so many times, so why don't we do it together, give it a try, see what happens. She's got some great information there. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.